Who wrote this? Gaurachandra? Yeah. It's quite a labor of love to write all of that. Previously, books were written. Every book was written by hand. Certain people, that's their only job, to write books. Let me just see this. It's written. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Oh, I got it here too. Nashobhate jnanam elam alam niranjanam kuta punaf shashvad abhadram ishvare yacharpitam karmayadapyakaranam manam. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, Text 12, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Naishkarmyam apyachuta bhava varjitam. Na shobhate jnanam alam niranjanam. Kutaf puna shashvad abhadram ishvare. Na charpitam karma yadapya karanam. Knowledge of self-realization, even though free from all material affinity, does not look well if devoid of a conception of the infallible God. What then is the use of fruitive activities, which are naturally painful from the very beginning and transient by nature, if they are not utilized for the devotional service of the Lord? Purport. As referred to above, not only ordinary literatures devoid of the transcendental glorification of the Lord are condemned, but also Vedic literatures and speculation on the subject of impersonal Brahman when they are devoid of devotional service. When speculation on the impersonal Brahman is condemned on the above grounds, then what to speak of ordinary fruitive work, which is not meant to fulfill the aim of devotional service? Such speculative knowledge and fruitive work cannot lead one to the goal of perfection. Fruitive work, in which almost all people in general are engaged, is always painful, either in the beginning or at the end. It can be fruitful only when made subservient to the devotional service of the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita also, it is confirmed that the result of such fruitive work may be offered for the service of the Lord. Otherwise, it leads to material bondage. The bona fide enjoyer of the fruitive work is the personality of Godhead, and thus when it is engaged for the sense gratification of the living beings, it becomes an acute source of trouble. Narad Muni is explaining the revolutionary statements he's made in the previous two verses. Revolutionary in as much as everything that Vyasadeva has stated, he has thrown it out. Not only thrown it out, but condemned. Vaya Samtirtam. Vedic literature. Place for crows. And as he says in the next verse, in the verse after the verse previous to the one we're reading today, those words which glorify the Lord, that is meant for viplavaha, is meant for a revolution in human society. No, there is a completely different outlook in Srimad Bhagavatam to that of other literatures. It may be said that, well, Krishna is described in other Vedic literatures directly or indirectly, or even directly. We find, for instance, in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, the description of Golok Leela, of Radha and Krishna. And we find many of the seminal verses of Gauriya Vaishnavas are quoted in quoted from Padma Purana. So, why is it condemned? Krishna's there. Devotional service is glorified in other parts of the Shastra. But achuta bhava varjitam, if there's not a clear concept of pure devotional service, then even there's descriptions of bhakti, but because of lack of clear definition of what is bhakti, what is shuddha bhakti, bhakti means shuddha bhakti, because of lack of that, then a misunderstanding is almost certain to occur. We say shuddha bhakti to distinguish it from mishra bhakti, that which is mixed with karma, jnana, or yoga. But actually bhakti means shuddha. And actually there's no such thing as mishra bhakti. It's a term which is used. It's a term which is vyavaharik. How do we say that? Just for the sake of working. It's for some practicality, to demonstrate some point. It said karma mishra bhakti. But actually bhakti means that's described as uttama bhakti. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana kamadhyanavritam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhakti uttama. That is described as uttama bhakti, that which is free from all taints of contamination from karma or jnana, and which is executed simply for the pleasure of Krishna, which is cultivating the attitude of pleasure for Krishna. Now that is actual bhakti. Then it's called uttama bhakti, but bhakti is always uttama. Bhakti is never nimna, or is never. There's really no such thing as second class bhakti or third class bhakti. Bhakti is always in the above. It's always uttam. It's always above the stage of the tamaguna, the darkness of this material world. But because in this material world there are persons who are approaching the point of bhakti, they may mix it up with karma or jnana or yoga, or they may maintain some while on the path towards bhakti, they may maintain some material attachments. Therefore it is spoken of karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, yoga mishra bhakti. But actually bhakti means pure. Bhakti means, when there are so many definitions in Srimad Bhagavatam especially, that Kunti Devi has said, what is that? Her Twaimenanya Vishaya Matir Matu Madhu Pate Sakrit Ratim Udvahatadata Gange Vogam Udanvati. May my attraction flow towards you, just like the Ganga, unstoppable. You see the Ganga is flowing with great force. So just like that, may my attraction be towards you without any disturbance, without any dams. No dams or no canals cut from... Nowadays there are so many dams on the Ganga and canals cut from it, but those days there weren't. So she's praying, no dams, no canals, just like the Ganga flows towards the sea, non-stop. So there are so many definitions of actual bhakti, which means shuddha bhakti in Bhagavatam. Bhakti means shuddha bhakti. Just like there are so many words which... there's sometimes some qualification is put on them, just like Sadguru. Sadguru means bona fide guru, but there's no such thing as Asadguru. But it's just to distinguish. Guru means Sadguru. But sometimes the word is Sadguru, it's said, to distinguish between those who are posing as gurus, who are not actually gurus. So like this, so many words may be introduced to qualify terms which in their pristine definition doesn't require any, or doesn't admit any qualification, any further qualification. So bhakti is pure, but in this material world it may be mixed. Just like gold is gold. What do you say? 22 karat gold, 18 karat gold in Russia. It looks like copper. It's got so much admixture of copper that it's gold. It's gold. It doesn't look like gold. There's so much copper in it that it looks almost, it looks more like copper, shiny, very shiny copper or something like that. So you can say it's gold, and the gold appears to mix with the copper, but gold has its own, there may be an amalgam, but it has its own pure nature. And the more you mix it, the less attractive it is, and the less genuine it is. And there's another, which is imitation, altogether imitation. 18 karat gold is with a low content of gold, but there's also imitation, which is not gold at all. So that's like bhakti, there's imitation, micha bhakti. It's not a mixture of karma or jnana, but it's just a complete imitation, pretending. So all these different gradations are there, and Narad Muni is condemning that Vyasadeva has not compiled any work which clearly defines Shuddha Bhakti as distinguished from Karma, Jnana, Yoga, Karma Mishra Bhakti, Jnana Mishra Bhakti, Yoga Mishra Bhakti. You have not described any such thing. Now what happens, and this we find is almost all-pervading among Hindus, who can be called, as Prabhupada says in one definition, Prabhupada says, Hindu means follower of the Vedic literatures. So at least superficially they can be called followers of the Vedic literatures. Because in other Puranas, mostly the mention of Krishna, Leela, in the Puranas, we also find Krishna in the Upanishads and in the original Veda also. But Krishna is mentioned, but it's even it may be mentioned, what is, just like this famous verse, that's Narada Pancharatra, that Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchita. So, it may be mentioned about, even mentioned about pure devotional service. But then you'll find, just like in Brahma Vaivarta Purana, it's Brahma and Ganesh. So big sections about Ganesh. And then so there's Krishna, and then there's Ganesh. And people think, well, it's all the same. Krishna is one of the gods. And this Brahma Vaivarta Purana, Rajasic Purana. So that's encouraging people towards Karma Kanda. So there's no clear concept of pure devotional service, even though it may be mentioned, it may be described, but then it's mixed up with so many things, which in Bhagavatam we don't find. In Bhagavatam, in some places, we find some minor indication or that it made something for the Karma Mishra Bhaktas. Something is there, little bit. Just like we'll find at the end of the section on Prithu Maharaj, is it? Or that it's very typical, Phala Shruti. We find at the end of any work or any section of any Purana, there's that by hearing this, what benefit will you get? And usually it's said, well, the Brahmanas, they'll become very learned, and the Kshatriyas, they'll become very powerful, and the Vaishyas, they'll become very rich, and the Shudras, they'll get a better next life. It's the usual thing. So that's stated like that at the one of these sections, either Prithu or Dhruv Maharaj, I can't remember exactly. So there may be some little leeway given, some little room given for the Karma Mishra Bhaktas. But then if we examine very deeply, we'll find that also not, that in Bhagavatam, the topic very clearly defined is pure devotional service, fanatically, the non-devotees will say. Just like here, that even, in this verse it's stated, that even if we described Naishkarma, or the highest level of Shastra without Achyuta Bhava, without Krishna consciousness. If that is that, first of all, describing that you do some karma, and you do it for the sake of going to the heavenly planets and getting material benefits. And then higher level, you just do for the sake of duty, without expecting any reward. It's sattvic to perform your work, your duty. But Narad Muni is condemning that also. That appears to be a very high level. That you do your work without expecting any result, or you renounce all work and withdraw from work and just engage in meditation, yoga. So this is very high level. But it's significantly higher than those of the fruitive workers, who they perform activities according as prescribed in the Vedic literature, but they want some fruit, they want some result. So this Nishkarm Karma Yoga or Jnana Yoga, that's a very high level. And one has given up cultivating material desires. But Narad Muni condemns that also. Nashobhate. It's not nice. It's not very good. If there is no clear concept of doing everything for the pleasure of Krishna, or at least offering to Krishna. Naishkarma, you do work without expecting the result, but better than that is to offer to Krishna. At least that much in Gita, Krishna says. Yad karoshi yad ashnasi yad juhoshi tadasi yad tapasyasi kauntaya tat karushva madarpanam. Everything you do, you offer to me. What you eat, what work you do, what charity you give, austerities you perform, everything you do is an offering to me. So that is karma yoga. But it's a long way from Shuddha Bhakti. It's recognition of Krishna. That you do your work and then you offer it to Krishna. But doing around the other way, ado arpita yat kriyata. That first you think of offering to Krishna, then you do your work. That's a different concept. It's a different approach. Not, I'll do my work what I like to do, I'll offer it to Krishna. But no, I should think how I can offer everything to Krishna and then consider how to do the work. So this Narad Muni, he is telling Vyasadeva that what is the jiva dharma? You have described dharma, artha, kama, moksha. But what is actual dharma? What is the actual dharma, the actual bhava? Here Prabhupada is given bhava as concept. What is the actual inherent attitude and activity and nature of the jiva is to serve Krishna. So this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it's not actually beneficial for the conditioned souls. It may be temporarily, or it may have some purpose. Just like if someone is, for instance, he's a heroin addict. So to cure him from that, you might give regulated, if you immediately take him off, then cold turkey. his whole system breaks down and it's very distressful. So you give. And especially if you have to ask him to voluntarily take a program for curing. So you give some heroin, but just mix it 10%, some better, and gradually weaken the dose. So like dharma, artha, kama, moksha is like that. That we want sense gratification. We want to be separate from Krishna. We're avoiding Krishna. Okay, so here you are. But gradually change and then gradually put some different medicine, mix it. Gradually give the real thing. But then if you only give the mixture, So he's still going, it's better than taking high dosage heroin, but it's still the same thing. You're still giving it may be in a weaker dose, but you're still giving the same thing. If you don't actually take him from that and cure him, then what's the use? So this dharma, artha, kama, moksha, it's executed in the atmosphere of envy of Krishna. So those who are envious of Krishna, they may be grossly sinful, meat-eating, gambling, drunkards, lechers, and performing all gross sinful activity. And then, okay, bring them under regulation. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha. Bring them under regulation. And so now they're regulated. Now they're not just shooting in the public toilet, but they come to the clinic and get their shots there. So there's an attempt to regulate them. They're under government regulation. And if they're caught in the public toilet shooting up, they're arrested. But if they go to the clinic, they're under government control. They're good heroin addicts. But there's no good heroin addict. It's a bad condition. So it may seem that to come under dharma, artha, kama, moksha, now under shastric restriction, that is very good. And you may praise him. Very good. From one perspective, very good. It's much better than, you see, he was on the street before and just illegally. Now it's legal. But then from another perspective, if someone sees, it's a heroin addict. Yeah. It's a legal addict. Well, still, it's a heroin addict. It's degraded. So it's like that. Narad Muni is saying that, you made them legal heroin addicts. You gave them dharma, artha, kama, moksha. There's some attempt to improve them. But what is the improvement? What are they supposed to do? If you only build the clinic and you only start the treatment, there's no plan to ever stop the treatment and make them actually fit and proper citizens again. Then ultimately, what is the use? And also, they're very likely at any point just to slip back into the same totally degraded condition that they were in, because they're still they're not cultivating achyuta bhava. They're cultivating ishvaraham aham bhogi, this bhava. The feeling that I am they're still cultivating the feeling I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. Now, the path of dharma attempts to cure one from that disease of thinking I am the controller and I am the enjoyer. By just come to the platform of naishkarma. In the mature world, everyone wants to work, whatever he does, he wants to enjoy the result. But come to the platform of working without result. That is the attempt in varnashram dharma, or dharma, which is practiced within varnashram dharma and is non-different from it. So the attempt is to make people selfless. But they can't actually be fully and properly selfless unless they become Krishna conscious. So it may that sacrificing for others, performing activities for the welfare of others, that is much better than just being a gross materialist. But unless one becomes fixed in the transcendental position of Krishna consciousness, then he's liable to fall down from that position at any time. This verse that we're reading today, this parallels the famous verse spoken by Lord Brahma, I believe, that ye niravindaksha vimuktamaninas twayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhaya aruhya kritrena parangpadang tatam patantyadho nadrita yushmadangraha. He says that persons who appear to be pure by having got free from the modes of material nature, having got free from material desires, having achieved that position with great difficulty — it's not easy to get free of material desires by performing difficult austerities — they may go up to the Brahman platform. But they fall down again because they're not actually pure. They may appear to be pure. They're free from material desires. They're pure, but only partially, not fully pure. Avishuddha. Shuddha may be pure, but Vishuddha, fully purified. No, Avishuddha. Because they neglect to worship Krishna's lotus feet. Which means that for all their apparent progress, they still really haven't gone anywhere. They may have got free from the gross urges to indulge the senses, but the root of their disease, the root of material contamination, the very basis of it is being inimical towards Krishna. And they still have that. So it's like they ran a long way, but they've got this, they're still tied up, and then there's like this strong rubber or something, and as soon as they stop, boing, they get pulled back again. They went a long way, but they're still tied up. They're still practically within the material atmosphere. They thought they escaped, but it's maybe just like the prisoner may be let out of the prison, and he thinks, I'm free, and he's, yeah, I'm free, but then they're watching him. Okay, come back. He can go. In that position, he can go and fall at the feet of the president and say, pardon me. But if he doesn't, they're watching, just like being on parole. You're on parole. You're out of the prison. But any little one thing you do wrong, back. Get back. So they're out. They're let out of the prison, but they're not trusted. Little bit, all right, let's see how you do. But unless they may be let out of the prison for good behavior, but it may be they're doing the good behavior just to get out of the prison so they can go on with their bad behavior outside the prison. So as soon as they, we're very good, but as soon as they're seen, oh, actually he's still a criminal, okay, send him back. So that's exactly what happens with those who they neglect to worship Krishna. They may be very good, but still their motive is not good. They may be behaving well, but their motive is not good. That's why we decry, even in this today's verse, it says even naish karma, being free from this karmic attitude, aham bhogi, is not recognizing Krishna. Aham hi sarva yajnanam bhukta cha praparivacha. I am the enjoyer of all activities, all the pious activities mentioned in the pages. I am the enjoyer. How does that verse continue? Then? Tatvenatis chivantite. For those who fail to recognize this, they fall down. So even they're performing yajnas and so nice, and or they're free from all karmic activities. They're liberated, but they don't recognize Krishna. Then they're doomed to fall down again. So it's they're just like this. We're saying that you can get books, and they tell they're very popular books: how to be good, how to be nice, how to live in this world as a nice person. We reject them because it's all artificial. It's not being nice. It may appear to be nice, but it's not, because it's achuta bhava varjitam. How we can live in this world nicely without Krishna, which means not being nice. It's a sham. It's a fraud. It's not niceness. Without Krishna consciousness, it's not. Now, we may say devotees are very rough and badly behaved and this and that, but they are, even the so-called rough devotee, if he has the desire to serve Krishna, then he's much better than a so-called, incalculably better than a so-called nicely behaved non-devotee who has no intention to serve Krishna. So his niceness is not actual niceness. It's transient. It won't stay. Because that is his present situation under the modes of material nature. He appears to be very nice. And often the people who appear to be very nice, they're actually not nice at all. We will find certain we'll find if we look at their behavior how they can change very quickly, then it's not reliable. One who's not a devotee, one who's not fixed in Krishna consciousness, not reliable. Hitler was very nice, you know that? In his social dealings, he was a vegetarian also. He's a very cultured person. So, you know, only some small thing wrong with him that he invaded other countries and killed millions of people. And we'll find so many nice people, so nicely behaved, and they're very politely pass the salt as they're eating their roast beef. Very, very nice and very cultured. Or even people are trying, they're vegetarian and they're trying to cultivate nice qualities, but ultimately, what is their niceness anyway? Even if they are very nice in their social dealings, it's nicely forgetting Krishna, which is violence, which is demoniac. So this is the Bhagavad conception. It's called the Bhagavad conception because it's directly in relationship with Bhagavan. And we won't find this in other shastras. It's clearly defined. So Narad Muni says, it's not nice. It doesn't look good. It isn't good. Because what we really need to hear is that we have all these Vedic literatures. They're all, what do you call them? Bridge literatures. What do you call them? Bridge books or something like that? Bridge preaching. So it's all bridge preaching. And Narad Muni rejects it. Come to the other side of the bridge. Come here. Just like Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He rejected all these ideas, very nice sounding ideas of harmony and how we can all come together and respect everyone's opinion and all live together. He rejected it all. People said, what is this? He said, you want that we shall all live in harmony? Then we all have to come to some mutual understanding. Well, there's the bridge, you come to my side of the bridge. That if you want, that unity is our number one principle, well, I won't unite with you, you have to unite with me. If you really think that unity is the most important thing, that everyone should come together, then I'm not going to come to you. Then if you really want unity and everyone should come, you want me, come to me, come to this side. I'm not going to go to your side. So the Vaishnavas, they're always considered arrogant, fanatical, unreasonable, which is true from the material point of view. But the material viewpoint is in itself contaminated. Just like in the prisoners, the governor. Who is that? And the staff, they don't like the staff. Who are these? They're not part of us. We don't like them. They're always spoiling our fun. We want to get out of this place and they're keeping us in. And we don't like them. But who is properly situated? Should we listen to the opinion of persons who are contaminated? Oh, we should listen to the opinion, not actually opinion, fact as given by Narad Muni. Better than listening to millions of new age gurus or old age gurus or out of date gurus. It's always new age because they're always new ideas, which means they don't know what they're talking about. But Narad Muni's idea, we should listen to this. Better than listening to millions of conditioned souls. However good their ideas may seem, however noble their intentions may appear, one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam is more valuable than millions of literatures. Do good, be nice, smile, all these things. Karmakanda, Gyanakanda. It gives us, it's the truth. Materialistic people don't like the truth. For them it's painful. Because it means cutting their material attachments. So we may think, because Krishna consciousness is painful to the materialist, we may think that we are doing good to them by not giving them pain, by giving them watered down Krishna consciousness. That's another oxymoron. There's no such thing as watered down Krishna consciousness. But we may think we'll mix it all up and then it won't be painful, and that's better. But it's actually not better, because it's again cheating them. They may think, oh, very nice. And if we give them actual Krishna consciousness, they think, not nice, it's very painful. And we want to be nice. We don't want to hurt people. So we think that, oh, we should just give them something that they will like and they will appreciate. But they need, what they need and what they like is something different. Just like they go to the doctor, and you have to take his treatment, and what? Or if you're just lying down in an accident, you don't have any. You don't ask the doctor, "Can I be treated?" He has to treat you. So it may not be the treatment that he likes, but he's given the treatment that he needs, and the treatment that he needs will be better than the treatment that he likes, because the treatment that he likes most likely won't cure him. So this is another illusion created by material leanings, that we should preach in such a way that people will like it. Almost guaranteed, if they like it, it won't be what they need. Because what they like is not Krishna consciousness. And we have to give them Krishna consciousness. And Krishna consciousness means surrender to Krishna and give up all your motives of sense gratification. Definitely they won't like it. If we're going to preach actually and change people's hearts, we're not going to be popular. The desire to be popular is another contamination. The desire to please Krishna, that is the pure desire. And the desire that we shall be popular, we shall be accepted by the people in general, this is a contaminated desire to live comfortably in this material world. That's why the preacher of Krishna consciousness, he has to be prepared to fight always, throughout his life, non-stop. If you're actually going to fight, if you're actually going to preach, then it's not going to be that we just walk out and say, "Hello everybody, surrender to Krishna," and they all fall down and, "Oh yes." Doesn't happen. It's never happened in the course of history, and it will never happen, ever. Now of course we do festivals and people think it's very nice, and that, okay, but at some point we have to go beyond. Or not beyond, because chanting Hare Krishna festival, people who like it, that means they're pious. But at some point we have to give, what is the substance behind this? That it's not just we're singing and dancing and it's some kind of ethnic Indian cultural show that we like and you can also like it. And another time you can go to some Balinese dance, or you can go to some Thai dance, and it's all exotic. So, and we're vegetarians, oh, very nice, but what's it all about? What's the philosophy? Philosophy is Naishkarmya Vapyachuta Bhava Vajitam Nasho Bhate Gyanam Along Naranju. Anything without Krishna consciousness, not nice, not good. So at some point that has to be given. And when it's given, people aren't going to like it. Unless they, of course, it may be given in small doses, but it's, if they're honest, just like we had in the previous verse, sadhava. Those who are actually honest, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti Sadhava, those who are actually honest, those who are actually sincere, they will appreciate it. But most of the people in the world are not sincere. Still we have to give the message. That example is given of giving medicine to a horse. Can you ever imagine how to orally give medicine to a horse? Pretty tough job, huh? How are you going to hold him, open his mouth, shove it down without getting your hand bitten off? And horse is very dangerous. He bites you at the front, kicks you at the back. If you get on his back, he'll throw you off. It's very dangerous. Front, middle, and end. How can you give medicine to a horse? So giving Krishna consciousness is like giving medicine to a horse. It's a tough job. But if you're going to do it, you have to do it. And it's a risk. And you might get bitten, you might get kicked. The horses, especially these thoroughbred racing horses, they're always in a bad mood. They're very puffed up. I'm the racing champion. So, how to give them medicine? So it's a tough job and may not be very popular. But devotee, his idea is to be popular with Krishna, not with the Janata, Janadaga, sinful population, but with Janardana, acting for the pleasure of Janardana, Krishna. So this Narad Muni, he's a revolutionary preacher. I mean, he's a preacher. Again, you don't have to say revolutionary preacher. It's like saying Sadguru. Preacher means revolutionary. You shouldn't have to say Sadguru or Shuddha Bhakti. But like that, he goes and he takes away all the sons from Daksha, and Daksha's very unhappy. And Narad Muni goes and does it again. And he gets cursed. He doesn't stop. He goes on. Narad Muni bhajai bina Radhika Ramananam. He goes on. And he knows that I'm going to go on speaking the same thing. People aren't going to like it. Some will like it. They will take it. They will be saved. And others, they won't like it. That's the job of a preacher. And he gains the favor of Krishna by doing that. Krishna says, no one is more dear to me than he who preaches this message of Bhagavad Gita. So he gains the favor of Krishna. And it's worth it. Even if the whole world goes against you, what do you lose? Because anyway the whole world is against us. Those who praise us, in the materialistic people, those who praise us, they only do so because we're giving them some sense gratification. We're fulfilling some sense gratificatory need for them. Just like they praise a footballer. Oh, he's so great. Best footballer in the national team. Then he misses a penalty and then they go... Then they throw eggs at him and everything. So like that. Even Mother Teresa, people praise her. Oh, so great, because she fulfills their need to think that we are very good because we appreciate her, because she's very good. And it's all based on avoidance of Krishna. So even to be praised by the public, actually they're against us. Everyone is envious of everyone else. And even if someone likes us, that like, it's not on a solid platform. It's like means I get some sense gratification from you. So to get praise from the public, to desire that, it's very foolish. It's very dangerous also, because it binds us in this material world, and you have to go on performing and go on and go on and go on. You always have to play to the public tune. There's no end to it, and they'll never be satisfied. So better to satisfy Krishna. And actually no one can be... No, we ourselves cannot be satisfied unless we satisfy Krishna. Unless we attempt to satisfy Krishna. And no one can be satisfied. No one will be satisfied. Sometimes people later they realize, those who are against, then they come to Krishna consciousness by the endeavors of the devotees. Then they appreciate, oh, now I realize I was so wrong previously. Then they regret. Jagai Madhai. They were so sinful. Later they regretted. Oh, now we realize what is the actual position. So a devotee works for that. He preaches the message of Krishna consciousness without adulteration. And people may not like it. They may be against. Not maybe, they will be. We can know if our preaching is actually... There's a conception current among devotees at the present time that if everyone likes us, then our preaching is going nicely. And the most important thing is that the public should like us. But actually, if our preaching, if it's really going very strongly, we should expect lots of opposition, actually. So this idea that the most important thing is that the public should like us, this is a sellout. I mean, we lost the thread, we lost the track. And actually the public will never like us. Because they don't like anyone. They know those who are in demoniac consciousness, they don't actually like anyone. Their liking is not liking. They don't even like themselves. They're totally discontent. So the real medicine that people need is Krishna consciousness. And it's the duty of the devotee to deliver that. If the horse opens his mouth and says, okay, put it in, very nice, good horse. But most horses are not like that. Most horses are stubborn and violent and dangerous, at least. So, but still, it's the duty of the devotee to find the... Maybe by trickery you can give the horse... Show him some... What a horse like to eat. Donkeys like carrots. Show him some carrots and opens his mouth and throw the medicine. And somehow... There may be some tactics, but giving the medicine cannot be avoided. And they may protest. But still it is the duty of the devotee to go on giving that. Just like Prabhupada, we're going to sing that now, that song. Boro Kripa Koilo Krishna Adamera Prati Hale. You've been very merciful to me, Krishna, to send me to this disgusting, horrible place in the mode of ignorance, where people they're completely devoid of achuta bhava. They're completely devoid of Krishna consciousness. They've never heard Vasudeva Katha. You're very merciful, Krishna, to send me to this place. That's how Prabhupada opens his song. It's your great mercy. Prabhupada didn't write any poem when he was in Vrindavan that you're giving me great mercy here to sit in Vrindavan. He wrote Vrindavani Bhajan. He's all about preaching. That I'm sitting here in Vrindavan and the whole poem is not about doing bhajan in Vrindavan. It's all about preaching. And then he goes to America. Now you've given me your real mercy by sending me to this disgusting place where people are completely devoid of Krishna consciousness. This is your mercy. He didn't write that in Vrindavan. Prabhupada wrote four poems that we know of. Three in Bengali and one in English. So Prabhupada thought, this is the real mercy. I'm being sent to preach the order of Siddhanta Saraswati. So those who can pick up that mood that Prabhupada had, they'll be blessed. The mood that Narad Muni has, the mood that Narad Muni imparted to Vyas. Now we find that Prabhupada and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur ahead of him, they condemned this sitting in Vrindavan alone doing bhajan. Isn't that something wonderful? Very good. Nirjane Anartha, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wrote the poem. How sitting alone doing bhajan is an anartha, it's a contamination. This is revolutionary. I mean, isn't this all what the Bhagavatam is about? No. Bhagavatam is this Tadvag Visargo Janataga Viplavo. It's about revolutionary preaching Krishna consciousness among the misguided people, creating a revolution. Again, Prabhupada quotes this Prahlad Maharaj in his prayer. What is that prayer? How can I leave the service of my spiritual master? Then that Prahlad spoke to Narad Muni. So many prayers of Prahlad. Prahlad's prayers, they're very good for preachers. All of his prayers. Maya Sukhaya Bharamud Vahatavi Muni. I'm happy. I'm happy that whenever I chant your name, Nrsimhadev, I'm happy. But I'm unhappy seeing all the fools and rascals going to hell, trying to be happy in this material world. So this is Bhagavatam. Revolution on top of revolution. Revolution, dharma, artha, kama, moksha. This is jugupsitam, abominable. Pure devotional service to Krishna. Okay, pure devotional service to Krishna. Sit in Vrindavan, do bhajam. Rejected. That's also abominable. Seems very strange. Narad Muni and his modern representatives. They don't reject Nirjan Bhajan, but they reject that artificial Nirjan Bhajan. First there has to be kirtan. Kirtan prabhave smarano haibe tokona nirjana sambhav. That when one has done kirtan, then by the purification of that kirtan, then it is possible to do this Nirjan Bhajan. But even then, we don't find Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. They didn't do. They went on throughout their life, as Prabhupada said, I want the benediction from Krishna to go on fighting for Krishna up to my last breath, which he did. So this is Narad Muni giving some slaps to Vyasadeva. Now you go and slap the whole world with that slap that will bring awareness. The Vyasadeva had already written, Utishta, Jagrata, get up, wake up, Prapya Varani Bodhata, attain the boon of human life. What is it? Get up, wake up, attain the boon of human life. What is it? Karma, Jnana, Yoga. You have said so many good things. What is it? Is this Srimad Bhagavatam? Take it. So, Hare Krishna. What's the time now? No, we'll go on later. Questions? No more questions today. Today is the no questions today in the seminar. So any questions can come now, I guess.
How to differentiate between giving water down Krishna consciousness and giving gradually?
How to differentiate between giving water down Krishna consciousness and giving gradually? Well, what's the difference? What is the difference? If there's an actual motive to... First of all, we should know what Krishna consciousness is. If we ourselves don't know, if we think that Krishna consciousness means that Krishna consciousness means that you chant Hare Krishna, you follow four regs, and that's it. Often we think we have to get people initiated. So what is initiation? Four regulated principles, chant Hare Krishna. Okay, we got them initiated. On to the next one. Find someone else. Bring them in. Drag them in. Stamp them. Initiated. This is it. This is our preaching. We should know what Krishna consciousness is. Krishna consciousness means surrender to Krishna. Doing everything for Krishna's pleasure. Nothing for Krishna consciousness. Of course, there are different levels, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadish kame. Mama janmani, janmani shri. Bhavatad bhakti arhaitu gitvai. So that's the beginning of this real Krishna consciousness, high level Krishna consciousness. But then, Aslishava padaratang panashtumam, adarshanam mamahatam karutu, va yatatata va vidatatu, lambato, mat prananatas tu saevanapara. We should know. This is the actual standard. Now, practically in our preaching, we never say that. We say, chant Hare Krishna, you'll be happy. You can be happy. And when people say they're happy, they think we'll get sense enjoyment. Because that's what they think. Materialistic people think, when we say, have a good day, or be happy, they think that means, oh, they're wishing us sense enjoyment. So in the beginning, practically it's always... we're offering something that for your in the beginning it's always something somewhat watered down, but we should know clearly what is the actual stage preach that preaching Ashlishava Padaratang Pinashumam that goes on mostly among ourselves, not in our preaching to the public. That alright, we bring people in, now you chant, and we can say that the ultimate goal of life is to act for God's pleasure, for His pleasure alone. That people should understand. But this, we have our classes regularly so that we can understand what is pure devotional service. And I guess because nowadays many devotees, they don't regularly attend classes or don't regularly listen to lectures or they don't regularly read Prabhupada's books, and therefore they're concept of pure of devotional service is mixed because they don't regularly hear the message as it is, and so it gets mixed up again in their mind with all their misconceptions because they're not pure, they're not free from all material contamination, so those misconceptions come back. That's why you see there are so many books like we might read Ekadashi Mahatmya or the story of Tulsi Devi, and there are so many books you can read, they're available now, but actually, the concept of what is pure devotional service, you won't get very clearly from this. Therefore, the most important books to read are Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Nectar of Devotion. Because these literatures are there, but we won't get clearly the concept of pure devotional service from them. Even though pure devotional service is inherent in them, but it's not clearly philosophically stated. We like to read many stories of... I was saying yesterday we should read the stories of the Vaishnava Acharyas to understand how they're acting in pure devotional service, but that's not a substitute for studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita as it is, which gives us, and hearing regularly, which gives us the clear concept without which, what to speak of preaching to the public, even persons who have come to the stage of being initiated, they're often divorced from the concept of pure devotional service. They don't understand clearly what it is, and they'll say, oh, this is something very good for preaching. But what are they preaching? They themselves don't know what is pure devotional service. And what they think might be good preaching is it's preaching of what they consider to be Krishna conscious, which actually is not pure devotional service. It's some kind of be good, be nice thing in this material world. God, their concept of God is similar to that of the Christian, which is why they like this interfaith and all this, because they have a similar concept. God is some cosmic order supplier, which Prabhupada was against that. God is not... How many times did Prabhupada say... You're all listening to Prabhupada's lectures. How many times did Prabhupada say, God is not our order supplier? Because that is the misconception that practically everyone has. That's why we say that people who say they believe in God, we don't actually accept them as... They may think I'm a theist, but we don't actually think they're theists. They believe in their conception of God. They don't actually accept Krishna as He is. So even to say God is not a very... The word God, as it's used, is... It encompasses the idea of sense gratification. He's also part of my sense gratification scheme, my big daddy in the sky who fulfills all my desires. Isn't it our Father who art in heaven? And give me daily bread and everything else. Give me. This is not Krishna consciousness. This is not actually who God is, because God doesn't conceive of himself as just fulfilling the desires of everyone, material desires. So they don't actually... They say we believe in God. But they believe... They have to say we believe in God. Prabhupada rejected this word, believe. But they have to believe in God because they believe in an entity who doesn't exist, actually. So what they say, their belief in God, it's not very different from atheism. We can say it's a minor step up from atheism, but it's a long way from Krishna consciousness. And even the Krishna consciousness of those who conceive of Krishna as an order supplier, it's not actually Krishna consciousness. Because Krishna consciousness means anukulyena. It should be performed for the pleasure of Krishna. What is anukula? That is Radharani. That's the name for Radharani. But she is the... embodiment, what word? There's English, there's no word. But she is, even if you say personified, it gives the idea of some concept which becomes personified. She is, so we have to say, she is Krishna consciousness. She is offering everything to... She is, as a noun, she is offering everything to Krishna for his pleasure only. She is that. And that is Krishna conscious. Even, we may even reject the sampradayas that are not Gauriya, non-Gauriya, even their concept, without Radha, the Krishna consciousness, what is that? Krishna, he doesn't like to be without Radha, so why are you worshipping him without? What is this? You don't understand who Krishna is. And why Radha is so important? Well, because Krishna likes her most. Anaya radhite nunam bhagavan haririshwaraha. She worships Krishna best of all. But why is her position so important? Why is there no real Krishna consciousness without Radha, because Radha is always with Krishna, because Radha is Krishna consciousness. We cannot actually be Krishna consciousness, giving everything to Krishna, giving every atom of our being to Krishna. We can only do that under the guidance of Radha, because she is that. Therefore, Vaishnav ultimately means, real Vaishnav means Gauriya. Vaishnav means worshipper of Vishnu. That's all right. Next is Krishna, worshipper of Krishna. But Gauriya means worshipper of Radharani, because she knows how to satisfy Krishna. So this is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't find Radharani mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, but every word is given by her, it's meant for her to offer to Krishna. It's all meant to go towards that. And anything less than that is not actually very pleasing to Krishna. It's not actually Krishna consciousness in the real sense of the term. So what are we going to preach that to the public? No. Slowly, gradually. Radharani will be misunderstood. Because we want to enjoy this material world, and then we hear about Krishna and we want to enjoy him too. And we hear about Radha and we want to enjoy her too. So first we learn Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. When we fully understand that, then we understand how he is enjoying, what makes him happy. He's only happy with Radha. So then we worship Radha. Then we have understood. Then we can hear Radha Krishna Leela. Otherwise we'll take it in our perverted attitude, we'll take it as something for our sense gratification.